Cradle for the Second Coming of the Christ by Helen M. Wright. All quotations in this book are from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures and Mary Baker Eddy's other writings, unless otherwise noted. Foreword. After giving a short history of her life before her discovery of Christian Science, Mrs. Eddy wrote, quote, "It is well to know, dear reader, that our material, mortal history is but the record of dreams, not of man's real existence, and the dream has no place in the science of being. The heavenly intent of earth's shadows is to chasten the affections, to rebuke human consciousness, and turn it gladly from a material, false sense of life and happiness to spiritual joy and true estimate of being. The awakening from a false sense of life, substance, and mind in matter is as yet imperfect. The mortal life battle still wages and must continue till its involved errors are vanquished by victory-bringing science. But this triumph will come. God is over all. He, the kingdom of God within our spiritual consciousness, alone is our origin, aim, and being. The real man is not of the dust, nor is he ever created through the flesh, for his father and mother are the one spirit, and his brethren are all the children of one parent, the eternal good." Unquote. Running through this book, America, Cradle for the Second Coming of the Christ, is the human history, the human footsteps leading to perfection that are indispensable. These human footsteps are intended to illustrate the ethics of truth, to show what America is, what it stands for spiritually, as the outward evidence of man's individual oneness with God, to reveal that America is not just a nation bounded by oceans on the east and west. America stands for the spiritual idea everywhere present. The prophecy of America dates back thousands of years. Doubtless, in order that this prophecy should be fulfilled, this nation was not named Columbus or Columbia, but America, for the following reason. Mrs. Velva Arland and Mrs. Lois Stoneman distinctly recall their teacher, Mildred LeBlond, CSB, who was an authority on America and on the ancient derivation of word meanings, informing their class that the root of the word America means the second coming of the Christ. The writer would be pleased to hear from any reader of this book who might have definite documented information on this subject. The great eagle, prophesied in Revelation 12:14, represents that which flies above the storm, above illusion and error. Spiritually interpreted, the eagle is a symbol for the United States of America. Revelation 12:14 prophesied, "To the woman, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she was nourished. From the face of the serpent, the great red dragon." With these two great wings, understanding and demonstration, Mrs. Eddy soared above the illusions, above the material sense of the world. Another prophecy of America was made nearly 46 centuries ago with the building of the Great Pyramid of Giza. Dr. Worth Smith, in his lectures, informs, quote, "Giza, root Giza, means the man of God in us," unquote. Scholars hold that the word pyramid is born of the roots pyr, P-Y-R, A-M, us, or pyremus, which interpreted means far resplendent fire or far resplendent light. Indestructible through the ages, the pyramid has stood a witness in stone to all humanity that the Christ was established long before man's advent, and that man, as the Christ, has never been separated from God man's true mind. Scholars, in deciphering root meanings, noted that the geometrical expression of divine revelation, the pyramid, meaning in the ultimate a beacon of reflections, or as a monument of measure, was built by heavenly light, Sufis, upon the foundation of the man of God in us, Giza. Jeremiah 32 states, "The great, the mighty God hast set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day." Mary Baker Eddy refers to this miracle of the ages, saying, "We are in the midst of a revolution. Physics are yielding slowly to metaphysics. Mortal mind rebels at its own boundaries. Weary of matter, it would catch the meaning of spirit. The only immortal structure is built on truth. Her modest tower rises slowly, but it stands and is the miracle of the hour. Though it may seem to the age like the great pyramid of Egypt, a miracle in stone." Unquote. From the heraldry of the United States of America comes this further compelling evidence. The great seal of the United States of America, shown opposite, came forth at the time of the Revolutionary War. It must have been a radiant flash of divine inspiration, since in 1776 nothing whatever was known to mortals regarding the prophetic or scientific features of the Great Pyramid. Above the unfinished pyramid, which in Egypt was left unfinished, is poised its missing apex, an illuminated triangle dissolving in a blade of light. In the heart of the triangle is an open eye, representing the all-seeing eye of the one mind, the kingdom of God within our spiritual consciousness. Some license prevailing in the interpretation of the two mottos of the Great Seal, the inscriptions read, "He, God, has favored our undertakings," or "He, God, has prospered our beginning." "Novus Ordo Seculorum" equals "A mighty order of the ages lives anew," or "An ancient order is born again." Unquote. The pyramid, with its headstone suspended above it in a halo of glory, symbolizes the crowning of the scriptures with the Christian Science textbook and other writings of Mary Baker Eddy. Divine prophecy was fulfilled when the biblical headstone was symbolically placed on the Holy Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Thus we can truly say, "Despise not prophecy." For fuller information on this subject, see the author's appendix to Mary Baker Eddy and New Look. Behind what looked to mortals like the discovery and settling of America was always the one mind, God. Though invisible, it was ever present, guiding, leading, imparting vision, will, wisdom. As mind urged forward the heroes, who are the subject of this book, the path behind them was with glory crowned. As we pursue their ventures, we will see the principle was showing itself forth in examples of its infinite ability to create love in the hearts of men, love that urged them to act in the cause of justice, mercy, and Christianity. In this book, when we speak of America, it is never to localize it, but to reveal God's everywhere presence. Wonderful America, universal, triumphant, and fulfilling mind's already existing law, which is Christian Science, and is more than 200 years old. Christian Science is as old as God, although its earthly advent is called the Christian era. When we speak of the Constitution of the United States with its Bill of Rights and the religious liberty protection it gave to Mary Baker Eddy in founding Christian Science in America, it must be remembered that truth or Christian Science may indeed sponsor a document, but the document, the Constitution, cannot produce or predate the law, Christian Science. Rightly understood, the 1787 document called the Constitution is a concrete example of everlasting, fundamental law, which could not be, of course, unless law, Christian Science, were already in place. As we now turn to mortal history and see why the human footsteps leading to perfection are indispensable, we become aware that when America is understood spiritually, it will be seen to be Christian Science, the law of God, which can be defined as the omnipresence of present perfection. When the laws of God are understood, it will be perceived that there is one spiritual nation, one spiritual state, universal and triumphant, and that one infinite God, good, unifies men and nations, constitutes the brotherhood of man, ends wars, fulfills the scripture, love thy neighbor as thyself, annihilates pagan and Christian idolatry, whatever is wrong in social, civil, criminal, political, and religious codes, equalizes the sexes, annuls the curse on man, and leaves nothing that can sin, suffer, be punished, or destroyed. Explanatory note to those readers who may not be aware of the fundamental teaching of Christian Science and Mary Baker Eddy's discovery of the illusory nature of evil and materiality. In Christian Science, we learn there are not two powers, a good one that overcomes an evil one. There is only one power, omnipotent, omnipresent, good. Christian Science, therefore, views all discord such as sin, disease, death, lack, and limitation as merely illusion. In this realization, in our ability to rest in the Word of God, the problem that confronts us dissolves. Healing takes place. Mrs. Eddy continually admonished students to expose and denounce evil and errors of every nature, but recognize no reality in them, since they are illusions, hypnotic suggestion only. Jesus' life gave the greatest example of defeating illusions. Was there ever a greater seeming defeat, illusion, than Calvary? Was there ever a greater victory than the resurrection? Mrs. Eddy's life, too, was a series of snatching stunning victories from the jaws of defeat, illusion, hypnotic suggestion. Christian Science asks, if you accept an infinite God, an infinite good that is all, omnipotent, omnipresent, an infinite spirit besides which there is naught else, can there, in reality, actually be discord such as sin, disease, lack? If you think about it seriously, must you not arrive at the conclusion that if God is all, is infinite, is good only, is omnipotent and omnipresent, and there is nothing present but infinite good, its nature and its qualities, then must not sin, disease, lack, and limitation, discord of any kind, be illusion? Must these not be the result of universal hypnotic suggestion? Therefore, no matter how real evil and all materiality seems, must we not stop thinking of these illusions as having power? Must we not stop fighting these illusions? Stop trying to heal these illusions, or trying to be healed of them? It is only because the appearance of these illusions seems so real to us that we fight them with the help of medicine and doctors, or with prayers and ministers, and look to various material forms for supply. In the matter of supply, Mrs. Eddy taught that God is infinite, therefore there need be no limit to any supply that we can widen our souls to receive. When we believe disease has power and try to rid ourselves of it, we actually increase its power. But if we hold to the truth that omnipotent mind, the mind that is our real mind, possesses all power, and this power is in the invisible spirit of God within us, we gain the conviction that there is no power in the visible form, the body, the condition, the person, place, thing, and therefore the discord or disease disappears. The false sense disappears because we have obeyed Jesus' admonition to resist not evil, resist not illusions, hypnotic suggestions, animal magnetism. The discord has disappeared because the Spirit of Truth, the Kingdom of God within our consciousness, has acted to dispel the illusion. Because mortals have been reared in a material sense of life, they hold themselves in bondage to form, and so commit idolatry. They bow down and fear a form labeled body, disease, money, person, place, thing, condition. But Christian Science reveals there is a presence and power which, as we contact it, it becomes a law unto us. It becomes a he that performeth that which is given me to do. The Spirit of Truth can dispel the illusion only when we arrive at the inner conviction that power does not exist in the visible form. Spirit is the only substance, and it shadows forth infinite forms, but the power remains in spirit, the principle. For example, the principle of mathematics has infinite forms, each of which can be erased from the blackboard, but the principle can reproduce the examples, the calculations, the forms, because the power and reproductive capacity always remains in the principle. It is the same with the principle of our being. The power is never in the visible form. Jesus told his listeners, "Destroy this temple, this body, this form, and in 3 days I, my divine mind, the I that I am, the principle, will raise it up, will reproduce it." When error looms, we have a decision to make. We will have a battle, since the illusions seem so real and continually present pictures to us of things that do not exist in reality. Christian Science asks, is there a something, a condition, that has to be overcome? Is there a condition that truth must do something to? Christian Science teaches that other people do not have the power to bedevil our life, but we must know this. When we expose and denounce evil, we must at the same time recognize no reality in it. One of Mrs. Eddy's most valued students, Flavia Knapp, felt keenly the envy, jealousy, malice, hate, and persecution directed against her. Therefore, at a testimony meeting, after testifying of her many wonderful healings, she concluded by asking, "For which of these works do you stone me?" 2 weeks later, she died. She had personalized error, had made it real. It was the suggestion, illusion, appearing in her own thinking that caused her to believe in the power of animal magnetism, which had prompted her to enter her public protest against this illusion. Jesus said, "A man's foes shall be those of his own household." She had failed to heed the Christian Science teaching that when we feel thoughts of error, we should vehemently enter a protest against our own belief in it. Mrs. Knapp should have understandingly declared, "No, you are not real. You can't be real, since God, the kingdom of God within me, is all and has sovereign power. Therefore, I know you are nothing but hypnotic suggestion. This error has no power of its own. It is coming to me to give it life, and I refuse to give it any." Then the error, the illusion, would have vanished, and Mrs. Knapp would have continued with her wonderful mission on this plane of existence. Our great work in this world is to let the light within our consciousness expand further and further into the darkness, until this light, from the kingdom of God within us, banishes all darkness and error. If we stand fast in the divine science, the divine knowing that God is all, is infinite good, is one, is omnipotent and omnipresent, then is there a discord to be overcome? Is there disease, lack, and limitation to be overcome? The answer, of course, is no. Christian Science calls on us to decide between reality and appearances, between the spirit and the flesh. The belief that life and sensation are in the body should be overcome by the understanding of what constitutes man as the image of God. Then spirit will have overcome the flesh. When we are in that consciousness where the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us, evil of every nature vanishes. Mary Baker Eddy's great discovery revealed that materiality and the discords confronting us are not a power. They cannot be a power, since God alone is power. Spirit alone is power. Clinging to this truth, we prove that materiality and discords are not a power. They are false concepts, misperceptions. This conflict between truth and error can be resolved only in our mind. God is individual mind. God is individual spiritual consciousness, and the ultimate of the entire teaching of Christian Science is to restore to man his consciousness of the divine mind as his only mind. This restoration takes place as we become aware that the entire mortal point of view is a state of hypnosis, illusion, caused by a universal state of hypnotic suggestion. In pursuing the saga of suffering and misery that seemed to accompany the epic deeds of this book's heroes as they took the indispensable human footsteps leading to perfection, we find allegory, dreams, cried out unto the lords, forsook the lords, claims to be the only correct worshippers, etc., all of which make an interesting compilation, but which could have done no more than can moonbeams to melt a river of ice, had not the one universal spirit, the one mind, and the laws of God been the leading and guiding light. Because of the grave danger that today threatens the human sense of America, the author has not neglected to sound a warning in this book in accordance with Mrs. Eddy's instruction. Quote, "Many are willing to open the eyes of the people to the power of good resident in divine mind. But they are not so willing to point out the evil in human thought and expose evil's hidden mental ways of accomplishing iniquity. It requires the spirit of our blessed Master to tell a man his faults and so risk human displeasure for the sake of doing right and benefiting the race. Therefore, designate those as unfaithful stewards who have seen the danger and yet have given no warning." The America that became the cradle for the second coming of the Christ and which had been prophesied for thousands of years is God's grand America, spiritual, universal, triumphant, and fulfilling mind's already existing law, which is Christian Science. This America always existed, but to become aware of it, humanity must take the indispensable human footsteps leading to perfection. As these footsteps unfold, let us not lose sight of the spiritual fact that our mortal material history is but the record of dreams, not of man's real existence, and that the heavenly intent of earth's shadows is to chasten the affections, to rebuke human consciousness, and turn it gladly from a material false sense of life and happiness to spiritual joy and true estimate of being. Chapter 1. The Indispensable Human Footsteps. On this 200th anniversary of our Constitution, Christian Scientists in particular have reason to be grateful. Without the Constitution and its Bill of Rights, there would have been no place on this planet where Christian Science could have gained a foothold. Until America was prepared and our Bill of Rights guaranteed religious freedom, there was no nation that would have protected Mary Baker Eddy and enabled her to found Christian Science in human consciousness. "The human footsteps leading to perfection are indispensable," wrote Mary Baker Eddy. "Certain of these indispensable human footsteps have already been taken and are destined to lead humanity to an understanding of its ever-present perfection and oneness with God. America's coming into being to provide the cradle for the second coming of the Christ had been foreseen by prophets for thousands of years. St. John's revelation concerning the angel with the little book and the woman of the apocalypse also prophesied that the great red dragon persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, science and health, the second coming of the Christ. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place. And the earth helped the woman." Indisputable evidence shows Mrs. Eddy understood the great eagle that helped the woman, and the place on earth that nourished her from the face of the serpent was, and is, the United States of America. Mrs. Eddy's mission was to found in human consciousness the divinely spiritual fact that man's mind is the divine mind, love, and to bring the baptism of spirit, or final immersion of human consciousness, in the infinite ocean of love. Her mission is destined to remove from humanity's thinking the universal hypnotic suggestion that man is separated from God. Conquering corporeal sense, it drops the curtain on material man and mortality. Mrs. Eddy expressed a divine mother love toward all mankind. She said, "I saw the love of God encircling the universe and man, filling all space, and that divine love so permeated my own consciousness that I loved with Christ-like compassion everything I saw." This realization of divine love called into expression the beauty of holiness, the perfection of being which healed and regenerated and saved all who turned to me for help. James Gilman, in Recollections of Mary Baker Eddy, writes that in a conversation with her, she related that last night she had come to revelations that had exceeded anything she had had before, in which she saw plainly that all things were put under her feet, and the love of God was so manifest it exceeded anything she could describe. All things were dissolved in it. All sense of evil, all antagonism, nothing was left but the sea of God's immeasurable love. Gilman adds, "I felt awed, and as if a word in response from me would be a sacrilege." America, cradled for the second coming of the Christ, expands on the inspired history of the United States, which divine love has brought to pass. It reveals certain of the pertinent human footsteps leading to perfection, which have already been taken, and which were, and will continue to be, indispensable in bringing the glorious science of being into daily living. This science enables students to demonstrate heaven here within our consciousness. Chapter 2. Love for God and Man Advanced Civilization. 19 centuries after Christ Jesus appeared on earth as a personal Savior, humanity was somewhat prepared and ready to receive the impersonal Savior, Christ Science, and begin to understand its message. God's message to mankind, in Science and Health, the Little Book, prophesied by Jesus in Revelation 10, will bruise the head of lust and establish the kingdom of heaven as the mind and consciousness of humanity. From the beginning, America was being prepared to be the cradle for the second coming of the Christ. It was Mary Baker Eddy's mission to bring to human awareness the kingdom of God, which has always been present, but unrecognized, just as the round earth was always present, even when everyone thought it was flat. In these pages outlining the history of America, which, Mrs. Eddy states, is as inspired as the historical portions of the Bible, the spiritual-minded reader will see the invisible power of the divine mind constantly at work to achieve universal salvation. America's Declaration of Independence and the Constitution with its Bill of Rights opened the way for the founding of Christian Science in this nation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Constitution also made possible the immediate, expeditious, and wide dissemination of Christian Science in America. Quote, "Religious liberty and individual rights under the Constitution of our nation are rapidly advancing, avowing, and consolidating the genius of Christian Science. This is leading to man's recognition of his spiritual status. Material history is drawing to a close." What made progress possible? Each forward step in man's affairs and in world affairs is the direct result of harmony brought about by the spirit of love and trust in God. Lacking this spirit, discord and destruction arise and result in setbacks to the well-being of mankind. Progress usually starts with one individual or a small group of wise thinkers. God puts it into their hearts to act. Quote, "A rock pile ceases to be a rock pile the moment a single man contemplates it, bearing within him the image of a cathedral," unquote. 1 Timothy admonishes, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." The devotion of thought by the individuals concerned and the energy to act made possible the discovery, settling, and building up of America. Belief in two powers caused suffering. When the Bible was the guiding light and impetus for the ventures undertaken in the discovery and settling of America, why was so much adversity and suffering encountered? It was because the people involved, and this is still true of most of us, had a religious background which had instilled in them the belief of two powers. They prayed to a God that did not exist. They prayed to a God as a great power that could overcome other powers, such as sin, disease, hunger, cold, or danger. There is no such God. God knows no sin, disease, death, discord, or error. The people believed that evil was real and that God knew about evil. Hence, they were praying to a non-existent God. But their pure and strong belief, their sublime faith in God, shadowed itself forth as the substance of the good that was made visible. It was not until after the Civil War was won that Mary Baker Eddy explained Jesus' teaching that the kingdom of God is at hand, is within our individual, infinite spiritual consciousness, that God's nature as omnipresent good can have no opposite, hence evil is unreal. She taught that God is all. His work is done. Evil is merely an illusion. But only as people understand the nature of God and the nature of man can there be unfailing, systematic demonstration of God as the one power, the only power. Until Mrs. Eddy revealed the allness and ever-presence of infinite good, people did not realize that religion, which believed in two powers, a good and an evil power, was a barrier to understanding the kingdom of God within their own consciousness. Hence the suffering and hardship that has accompanied mankind's progress. Nevertheless, a divine providence was in evidence from the time of Adam and Eve, and the people who participated in the ventures that forwarded civilization had great faith in God's willingness and ability to help them. Mankind's struggle for freedom began when the Adam dream, universal hypnotic suggestion, falsely convinced man that he is a mortal rather than a divine being capable of knowing the truth. The Adam allegory can never be understood if we think of Adam and Eve as two. Each mortal is Adam and Eve. It is the Eve in us that leads to seeing that error of any kind is illusion, merely aggressive mental suggestion coming to us for life. We can either give it life by believing the lie, or we can reject it by recognizing it as aggressive mental suggestion, the serpent. Infinite good made all that was made. Good alone is real. Truth, cross-questioning man as to his knowledge of error, finds woman, meaning the thought, male or female, receptive to spiritual sense, the first to confess her fault. She says, "The serpent beguiled me." She has already learned that corporeal sense is the serpent. Hence, she is first to abandon the belief in the material origin of man and to discern spiritual creation. Further, Mrs. Eddy wrote, "Thus it was that I beheld as never before the awful unreality called evil. The equipollence of God, God's allness and evil's nothingness, its unreality, brought to light another glorious proposition, man's perfectibility and the establishment of the kingdom of heaven on earth. The biblical Eve must therefore be seen as the first gleam of truth coming to Adam, to the Adam in each one of us. This gleam of truth is destined to awaken and free us, awaken and free all mankind from bondage to the cruelest of all taskmasters, namely, the Adam dream that life and intelligence are in matter. Mankind's misconception of what sin is.